That flute was the business, bro.
That was my favorite. I'm not gonna lie.
Welcome to the Sage of Three Paths podcast. We are three brothers who use this space to talk about a range of topics. Anything from politics, race, anime, and pop culture. Each giving our own perspectives and opinions. I'm the youngest, Mo Janna, also known as Junior Lab.
I'm the oldest, Okello, but my brothers call me AJ.
Middle child, Oz, aka Wizard King.
We three brothers.
One sec. We once again thank you for tuning in and joining us on this sometimes cathartic journey. Let's dive right in.
You know, like I said it earlier and I did the whole dan, 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 dan. How many people do you think actually know about Outlaw Star? Like, that's a really obscure anime.
If you weren't up late, if you weren't up late onto the hobby, you were never going to catch Outlaw Star. Outlaw Star and Big O.
Big O!
Thank you for coming onto the podcast, man. I haven't spoken about Big O to anyone other than my brothers. That's how obscure Big O is.
And I didn't even finish Big O.
No, I don't even know like the full storyline from start to finish canon. I don't know it. However, that was part of the anime experience growing up, sneaking downstairs late at night to watch these random shows that I don't know what's going on, but it's cool as hell. Like watching Chinese kung fu movies without subtitles, without the dub. It's just like, okay, I don't know what's going on.
I hope, but even with the subtitles and even with the dubs, the Galactic Ley Line.
Caster shows.
The way they had this, it had this allure of mysticism to it, where because we didn't know what was going on, it kept drawing us like, come.
Yeah, we had no idea. Yeah, but I think that was great for our imagination. Because it was showing us, wow, something is so, like, cartoons ain't like this. I'm not getting this feeling in my brain from cartoons.
Even our mum used to kill us off for watching it. We still get killed off for watching it now. Like, big man like you, look at you. Big man, you dumb. You de watch this cartoon business. Don't get emotion, Seth.
Emotion,
look at him. Look, you don't get emotions. Big man like you.
It's like, if you actually deep the story, you'd be in tears. Let's be real. If you deep the story, you'd be in tears. I'm in tears right now. I'm in emotions. I take off the.
You tell them the content is different. They're not listening.
You know what?
Gigi Akitami is born 1992.
Ooh.
He's of our generation. Like, he's 90. Our guy.
Yeah.
So when you watch Jujutsu Kaisen, you see the influences of Dragon Ball. You see the influences of Hunter x Hunter. You see the influences of, let's say, an obscure one such as Outlaw Star, where not everything's just put on a plate for you. It's drip fed to you and neat to you. And previously, before Jujutsu Kaisen, and this is why I say shonen, this is why I got into shonen. Shonen was basically God, and it translates as young boy from Japanese. So the target audience was for young boys, which is the reason for the fan service. Because let's be real, a lot of these anime girls out there with their, you know, stupidly large breasts, which, you know, not humanly possible in most cases, are 13.
Wow.
Really,
it's true. They're high school kids.
I don't agree with fan service. I think it's absolutely ridiculous. I keep in mind that the people writing this and drawing this are usually shuttings who don't have much interaction with women. I'm not saying all, but if you're going to be a mangaka, which is basically a manga author, you got to dedicate. The competition, the level of competition for manga, and the conditions these guys work in is just a lot of them. It's the reason why a lot of mangas go on hiatus, because their authors get sick from overworking themselves.
Yeah, Hunter x Hunter just hit 1,000 days recently. I think it was about a week ago or 2 weeks ago.
What, without a chapter?
Without a chapter, 1,000 I'm not surprised. Days.
That's a trip. I mean, I don't know. I don't know, but
that's a trip.
I'm not surprised.
Oh man,
it's crazy. You know, there's a level of, obviously we wouldn't understand it to that sense, but the work, you know, we have an idea, but we, you know, but we don't know. But the work environment pressure in Japan is on a completely different level to what we deal with, you know. And it applies to the manga sector as well, not just the salarymen or not just the corporate entities. It applies.
It's like most things where those at the top rake it in, and the other guys are just fighting to survive.
You have to be at a certain level to be able to call your shots.
Yeah.
So, for example, Ichiro Oda.
Yeah, if you're an Ichiro Oda, you the man.
You know, man, but the guy had to crawl, you know, he had to crawl because at the end of the day, remember, he did not, when he was writing One Piece, he wasn't, now he's doing three, on average, is what we're saying, in it, three chapters. Yeah, so 3 weeks, each a chapter a week, and then he gets a week off. He had to be in a position where One Piece literally became the highest selling manga, right?
For years,
all time for years running.
I think it's
to have
still
that
is.
Week off.
I think it's
week
let
off
me find
a
out
month.
The top selling manga, top 10 selling manga. Oh, I'm sure it's One Piece number one.
No, One Piece is 100% number one. All right, I'm. You can bring it up. I'm curious about the others, but One Piece is 100% number one. You know, what I mean, I'll be baffed in terms of if anyone else has topped it. If they're topping it, we're talking mangas from the, what, 60s, 70s?
Yeah.
Number one, Ichiro Oda, One Piece, 480 million.
Mm-hmm. There you go. Because that just got updated.
Number two, Go-Go 13 by...
Go-Go 13, that's a boss series. Yeah.
The assassin.
Yeah, that's the boss with the rifle, bro, the sniper.
It's quite
boss, an old man. It's old school, yeah. It's old school, because he would literally, all he does is take assignments, kill, and sleep with women. Yeah, that's all he does.
Pretty much like a James Bond-esque type guy.
Exactly, yeah.
So number three, Dragon Ball, Akira Toriyama. Shout out to Akira Toriyama for getting me into manga. 250 to 300 million.
Mm-hmm.
Million.
Godfather.
What does that mean? Like sold? How many sold?
Units sold. Yeah.
Unit sold, okay.
So it says, while manga is considered a niche in the UK for comics and graphic novels, it is popular in its native Japan. France makes up around 40% of the European manga market.
Wow.
Yeah,
it's growing,
it's
in popularity in Germany too. We predict that manga will continue to grow in popularity in the West. So we compiled a list of the best-selling manga of all time, so you can get an idea of how popular manga is and what titles to sell. This is webuybooks.co.uk. They quite literally buy books and sell books. Right, so Ichiro Oda, One Piece, 480 million, number one. Go-Go 13, Taiko Saito, 300 million. Number three, Dragon Ball, Akira Toriyama, 250 to 300 million. Number four, Naruto, by Masashi Kishimoto, 250 million. Number
that's not far off DBZ, bro.
Yeah, and Naruto's a lot younger than Dragon Ball.
Much younger, yeah.
Number five, Detective Conan by Gosho Aoyama.
Mm-hmm.
230 million. I've never seen a Detective Conan episode. The artwork just puts me off. I've got to be honest.
It says chibi guy with a big head, inspector.
Wait, it says a guy that watches One Piece.
No, but
come
okay,
on.
Okay, I got no excuse there. One Piece of animation. Listen,
come on.
If you haven't seen One Piece, you're gonna see the most weirdest form of humans, like
They're not humans, bro. I don't know what they are. You're gonna hear it's strange laughs.
Art style. Yeah. It's his art style. There's nothing like it. It's just, yeah. There's nothing like it.
It's the same with all those other authors you've named so far. Like the Dragon Ball and Dragon Ball Z. Toriyama was famous because he was the one that changed the game in terms of action panels. Right. No one was drawing action and movements like he was. You know, when they say that the characters and the action was jumping out of the panels, right, from the 80s to now, is because of Akira Toriyama. That's what made the Dragon Ball and Dragon Ball Z manga so popular. You know, the movements, the fights, the like jumping from moving from one panel to another seamlessly, but still pop. That was his signature. You know, that was his signature. And Oda, I'd say, you know, he has interesting drawing style, right? But let's be honest, it won't be at the top. It won't be the best. You know, if we're talking world building, storytelling, emotive scenes, that is Ichiro Oda, right? In terms of finest drawers, I can't draw for shit. But I can't draw to save my life, right? But I can appreciate excellent artists, you know, and I'd say...
I'll be able to draw to save my life.
What's it? Morata.
Draw this thing. I'm like... I'll do it. Whatever it is, I'll do it. Morata.
Don't say... You had Morata. He's the guy... He's the guy that... He drew One Punch Man. One Punch Man. The author from... the author is called One.
One, yeah. Right? He uses the pen name One. And he started off by doing a webcomic, and his art is as good as my man here saying he couldn't draw to save his life. That's how crazy his art is.
Yeah, I can give him competition. And I can't draw for nothing.
One's out.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah.
It's a joke.
If you put your life in a situation where I have to draw, my friend, I'm telling you now, get your affairs in order. All right? Simple. All right? Get your affairs in order.
This guy says...
The storyline was a hit, though. Like, the One Punch Man storyline was a hit from the webcomic. Yeah.
Like, it sounds like I'm trashing the guy. The guy's freaking amazing.
Yeah, it's amazing, right? He's done two series that became a hit. One Punch Man and Mob Psycho.
Mob Psycho 100.
Yeah,
so yeah.
Good. Both so of good. Them sick, yeah.
Sick. So,
and they both had Morata, two seasons, right?
So damn good. He's so good at making characters.
I'll read the One Punch comic, man. One Punch Man manga.
I read
right? And both. It's
because I love the artwork of the other one. Oh man, it's so amazing.
Morata, yeah, his artwork is insane. You know, his artwork is it's like tattoos on a panel, right? It's so insane, so vivid, right? But he's up there in terms of like quality artistry, great drawing. But for me, the number one most beautiful manga I've ever read, ever, is Vagabond.
Yeah, okay. For me, it's a toss-up between Vagabond and Berserk. The artwork on both of them are breathtaking.
Breathtaking is the word for sure.
Man, Vagabond, on it, you can feel the breath of the artist through the images. It's a man.
He used to live in a trance.
Soul on the paper when he created Vagabond. It's absolutely amazing.
I'm leaving my soul.
I highly recommend Vagabond. It's a story about an actual guy. So it's
Musashi Miyamoto.
It's kind of a biography. It's a fantasized biography, obviously.
Yeah. It's amazing, though. It's amazing. But, just the journey,
man,
of it. Each one was meditative. Honestly, I used to read the panels. Yeah. Because mind you, I started reading Vagabond maybe after like reading the Book of Five Rings, maybe like five, about five, six times. right? Because Musashi Miyamoto wrote the Book of Five Rings.
Yeah, yeah. This dude was a samurai back in the feudal era, which is basically the medieval era. It's Japan's medieval era. He wasn't a samurai, actually. He was just a dude with a sword who walked around Japan.
Yeah, no, he wasn't high born, but he wasn't low born either. His family had status. They had a level of status, yeah. But what happened was he just decided to become a ronin. He decided to become an actual ronin.
A wandering samurai. It's like he doesn't answer to anyone. He's just
no master.
A guy with a sword who lives that life, you know. He's all about the smoke. Well, originally, his story in Vagabond is how he grows. But yeah, he spends a lot of time in his life just ready to slice.
Fighting, yeah.
Just ready to slice.
Honestly, that is one of the most beautiful panels I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah.
Like, I've read Berserk, right? But similar to my experience with Akira, right? After I watched the Berserk anime, it took me years to even attempt the manga. It took me years to attempt them.
How old were you when you read that?
Younger than I should have been.
Yeah, that's no way for young minds at all. That's far.
Oh, as yeah. These are the influences.
If I was to give these like, are top the three, right? If I was to give top three, it would be Berserk, Vagabond, and Vinland Saga.
Ooh.
Yeah, I thought that artwork for that was dope.
Vinland Saga artwork is amazing.
Those three, but all three of them are not shonens. Again, shonens are young men audience. They're...
These are not for young men. These are definitely not for young men.
These are considered as seinen, which means young adult.
Mm-hmm.
But they touch on very dark themes, such as depression, such as suicide, such as... what it means to kill, what it means to be killed, what it means to live that life.
100%. And it's a heavier content in terms of it. I mean, Attack on Titan itself is just a seinen, isn't it? It's not a shonen.
No, Attack on Titan's a shonen. And this brings me back to my point about Jujutsu Kaisen. This brings me back to my point on Jujutsu Kaisen. So shonen over the years have had to get a bit more edgier. They've had to get a bit more edgier. And Attack on Titan really pushed the boat out. It really made it... Attack on Titan, I believe, at 1 year, outsold One Piece. There was 1 year where Attack on Titan outsold One Piece, which is like nobody outsells One Piece any year. So, again, the Gigi Akutami... He's influenced by the same things we're influenced. All the stuff we're watching and talking about now, he knows about.
It ties,
But when he's created Jujutsu Kaisen, it's to the level of someone I know, like if you, my man Sage, right now, was to make a manga and make your whole story and whatnot, I know, like, we could talk about stuff and be like, yeah, you know, I did this in this story because... You know how it reminded me of this character. It reminded me of the pride of Vegeta. Let's say. So there's a...
More reference points.
An appreciation for the manga world. The world of manga. An appreciation for it.
The predecessors. Someone
who truly loves it. The same way that we love it. And it shows in Jujutsu Kaisen. So I highly recommend Jujutsu Kaisen because it is a shonen, but it's edgy enough that anyone can watch it. That younger people can watch it, adults can watch it. And
To this day, I've genuinely thought Attack on Titan was a seinen.
No, it's 100%
a shonen. That's insane. Wait, actually,
let me not come here and spread some fake news. Let me check.
No, I can see what you mean by changing the edginess in it, yeah. Like I haven't confirmed it myself. I just assumed because of the content, I assumed it would be classified as a seinen. Do you know what I mean? Because Attack on Titan is pretty heavy. is pretty heavy, you know. I mean, from the first episode, they don't hold no punches.
No, they don't hold any.
It is a shounen.
They don't hold any punches.
It is a show. What does it come out
it's
on?
Crazy.
Because it doesn't come out on Jump. So Jump, if people don't know, is
because that no, it comes out on Shonen Monthly, I think.
Yeah, the Shonen Weekly Shonen magazine.
Well, it comes out on Jump.
Oh, is it weekly?
It's actually on Jump. No, it's probably.
It can't be on Jump.
It probably comes out on the weekly, but comes out monthly. So usually, like a chapter of a manga, which is about 20 pages, let's say, on average 20 pages, comes out weekly. But some mangas come out monthly, so they only come out once a month. And Attack on Titan was the type to come out once a month, I believe. But yeah, perhaps because of its popularity, it started, it got onto Shonen Jump, which is a weekly manga, which again, it's young man shonen and then just Jump. So it's people just call it Jump comics, but yeah. But Attack on Titan is a shonen, yeah. It made shonen edgy. They had to. It sold too much.
It really did.
You know, you want to be successful.
It really did. That's surprising, man. I genuinely, like, this is that's a more, like, for me, this is a more like moment of learning, right? Do you know what I mean? This is a moment of learning for me in terms of that, just in terms of how you related the edginess of the current Jump era, right? Because that actually, like you said, it explains the Jujutsu Kaisen, because Jujutsu Kaisen is a Shonen Jump.
It's a Shonen.
But it
comes out in Shonen Jump weekly.
But it is pretty brutal.
Weekly, but yeah. Yeah.
It is pretty brutal.
Very edgy. Again, even if you look at Hunter x Hunter, like the author of Togarashi, I think his name is.
Yeah, it is.
First and foremost, genius. Absolute genius in his field.
He is
do you know, is he in the top 10? I didn't even finish the top 10. Let me
Whilst you're getting that, Oz, what's your top three recommendations? Because we've gone round. What's yours?
Death Note. For similar reasons as Sage, but also, if you have the ability to dramatize someone biting an apple, and that's something that's, I don't know, almost cinematic, or writing in an the concept of writing in a notebook in a cinematic form that leaves you on edge, that leaves you thinking, oh gosh, what, whose name is that? The subtitles are there so I can see what name that is. That to have that ability, man, again, going to piggybacking off what Sage said, Westerners love this true crime and Dexter and all this dark mystery,
not just Westerners, everyone,
yeah, true,
that's
true,
universal,
true,
yeah, it's popular,
true, true. Very narrow of me, but yeah, 100%. So, I think as an entry point, like, who's the subject? Is it someone who knows nothing of the world of anime?
Yeah,
well, that's the completely thing about mine. New. Sorry, that's the thing about mine. I can't recommend mine to young people, I have different recommendations depending on who I'm speaking to, just as my man's saying,
yeah, if it's someone who's just got a blank slate, Death Note. That's one that there's enough action, there's enough intrigue to wet their feet. And I think the English dub isn't so bad. I think I've only
seen
a few episodes.
It isn't. Yeah, it isn't that bad.
It's not so bad. It's somewhere out there. It's just...
I'm subs over dubs, but there's certain dubs that are quality. There's certain dubs that are quality.
Enjoy however you can. Like, I can't watch Dragon Ball Z or any of the Dragon Ball series in the original Japanese dub. I can't do it. I need that Western dub.
It's what I'm used to, man. It's what I know.
Yeah. Exactly.
Get your toys out of the pram.
You've heard Goku.
No, I have. Japanese it's voice. The same voice actor as Gohan. Maybe even the American Frieza.
Welcome to the Sage of Three Paths podcast. We are three brothers who use this space to talk about a range of topics. Anything from politics, race, anime, and pop culture. Each giving our own perspectives and opinions. I'm the youngest, Mo Jana, also known as Junior Lan.
I'm the oldest,
Okello, but my brothers call me AJ.
Middle child Oz, aka Wizard King.
Freeza's Western voice is amazing.
Yeah.
Gives shivers down your spine. The equivalent of Freeza's Western voice in the Japanese anime, like voice acting, would be two come to mind. One would be Dio. Sends shivers down your spine. And the second one. Oh, it's hard, but Dio for now.
Dio's a great villain.
One of the best.
Yeah, I think the best.
You came here to die like a dog.
And Killer Queen. I love that guy. I think that was one of my favorite JoJo series.
Really?
Yeah.
I haven't watched it.
I loved how persevered. The guy he was not gonna stop.
Part four. Queen. I think Diamond is unbreakable.
Yeah.
I got to, is it Stardust Crusaders or was it? Yeah, I think it was like the third generation.
Yeah, where the introduction of Stans.
Yeah, so when Stans came in, I stopped.
Oh, bro, that's when it gets icy.
I've been told to follow, but I have a habit of dropping series, not just anime, but any series. Even if I'm finding it interesting, I'm really intrigued by it, I'll drop it, and then like maybe 3-4 years down the line, I end up picking it up.
Yeah.
You know, it's not out of you know, losing interest. It's just it's a habit of mine.
It's the internet. It will be there. When you want to get it, you go and get it.
Exactly. I'm using, you know, I'm not trying to be, I don't know. It became a point where I'm not trying to be, you know, there. Almost a slave to the screen in a sense. You know what I mean? Like, yes, you already got me. Yeah. You're inserted in me like an IV, but I'll tell you when to administer the drip. You know, I'll tell you. It feels like that's my own way of trying to take some form of weak-ass control.
I have your control. You know what I mean? Ozzy, we got two more, man. You've been holding us out.
Yeah. So definitely as the first. The second one, it's an anime called No Game, No Life.
Really?
I'm not sure if you've seen it.
Really?
And it's a strange one. I thoroughly enjoyed
it. It's a isekai, right?
Yeah. Because of how clever the writing is. Like, it's a weird relationship between a brother and sister where
very weird.
They're quite close. Not in a sexual way, but it's too close for comfort.
Sometimes sexual jokes.
It's too close for comfort. Weird. However, in terms of like the game that they play and like that narrative of them trying to defeat the god of this world, essentially, I think that's crazy enough, just enough that if it's someone who's a blank slate to be introduced to how mad this anime world is, because really and truly, we were talking of this epic panels, but really and truly, in these epic panels, people are getting sliced and diced and blood and guts and all sorts is going on. Speak of Kyojins, Titans, one guy gets... His mum gets crunched in front of his face by this 50-meter-tall humanoid-looking thing, which is a monster, for all intents and purposes. So I think that's just enough to wet their feet. And then the third one would be the first two seasons of Bleach.
Oh, you're stone cold, man. Shout out to you for calling out Bleach.
Whoa.
I was going to say, for the theme songs too.
If you want to see some action, gotta be the center of attraction. Hey, they got all eyes on you.
Yo, that is
the first 100% theme song. So it's the introduction of Ichigo into becoming a Soul Reaper and this path that he now needs to follow, and then it's chasing Rukia and going to Soul Society and having to fight all these guys, and it's like all this untapped power, and we're like, okay, well, why is he so dope? And that progression of slowly, like, the story eking out, that's, for me, again, blank slate, the right amount of crazy and interest and intrigue, but also a linear and passionate narrative that you can sort of latch onto and enjoy throughout.
You know, they're bringing Bleach back. Like, they're going to finish the anime. They're going to finish it completely, like, with the story, because Bleach stopped.
I haven't watched.
Katsuga Densha!
I was going to say, I hear you with the first two seasons. Me personally, I liked the whole of Bleach. I missed out the fillers. You know, I skipped the Bound arc. I'm not going to lie. I had to give that one a... But when they go... The Espada arc, when they go...
Do you know what?
Very techie. Like, it gets very techie.
But you have to have invested that time. Now, if you
watch... Same thing with One Piece, though.
If you watch the first two seasons and you're not really into it, you don't even talk about One Piece. One Piece, that is...
I can't watch One Piece. I can't watch.
Literally, that is like, that's old money investment. You have to really one piece of time. That's cryptocurrency money, bro.
Old money investment.
I got in early.
Yeah, facts. I got in with the four kids animation. That's when you got in.
One Piece is amazing. There's no doubt about that. However, when there's over 1,000 chapters.
Yeah, you ask.
It's intimidating. It's intimidating.
It is intimidating.
Like, no, and let's say I got about 700 deep.
Stuff's not still not kicking off. Like,
oh, man, I'm out,
bro.
I'm out.
I cannot
watch One Piece.
The
I can
genius.
Read the manga now and then. Every now and then, I what's going on? Has he found the ground, the One Piece yet?
Yeah, what See, is this goddamn One Piece?
Mo, I'm told you're the One Piece guy.
I don't read the manga, I only watch the anime.
Now you've left me conflicted. I was told you're the One Piece guy, bro.
Do you know what? I'm still intimidated to jump back up, because I was reading the manga, but I'm intimidated to go back. Because I am trying to treat One Piece how you treat your anime too. I don't, it's on the IV, but I will tell it when it needs to be administered. Because if not,
if they get lost.
Ask these guys what happened with Hajime no Ippo.
It's a reference I always refer to is one summer, Mo took Hajime no Ippo. It's like, close to 1,000 chapters perhaps. It was like in that region, or like 500 chapters in that summer. Completely annihilated the entire thing, went through everything.
Damn.
Went through everything up to date.
Even in my room. Gosh.
You legitimately get applause from me for that. Like, genuinely, like, kudos to that. That's a feat. That's a feat. I don't think I've ever finished, I've never finished Ippo. I've read most of it, right? Over finished Ippo.
Chapters as well.
And I love, I loved it, but it's to a point where there's certain points of when you decide to take it.
Right? Yeah,
seems like you came ready.
I came ready. It was my mission,
Now at my age, I can't be that ready. I'm sorry.
Hajime no Ippo. The only thing I've got to say to you is,
Dempsey, all
you say no. Aye, Kimi ni, Itsuno, Ikani oni ya.
That's where we're gonna lose and gain listeners just from that. Both of those things are gonna happen. We're gonna lose and gain.
why? I want to die feeling over.
Some of the best openings and endings.
Yeah, some of the best anime openings is from Hajime. When I was in the gym, I'd put
Hakida.
Hajime, no, the openings. So it would just play the openings. It would play the first opening, then the second opening. Someone edited it. So they pulled the videos in. And it's like a 20-minute video. It's like, all right, cool, I'm on my cardio. You say no. Hey, I can.
Roadwork.
Roadwork. Hajime no Ippo is a manga about boxing. And my understanding is the author of that was a corner man for Mike Tyson.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that's, I don't know how true that is, but my brain has that information from somewhere.
That's interesting as hell. But I mean, you could tell he's not just like, he's a huge boxing fan, but he's a boxing historian as well. You know, I mean, he's a boxing historian because how they...
And his name, you know, like George they, something, George Taka, I don't know, I see him all typing.
Joji.
That's his name?
What's his name?
Oh, his westernized name is George, but his name is Joji.
What, just that, like, Cher?
No.
No, it's Joji Morikawa.
I know him as George Morikawa.
But yeah, but he called is they pronounce it as George. It's J-Y-O-J-I. So Joji, which is George, I'd assume.
George.
Romanized is Romanized, yeah. That's fascinating, man. Yo, honestly.
Do you know what? Bear with me, guys, because we've segued and we've discussed, we've debated in this, all the madness. But essentially, I'm trying to put my mind or my feet into the shoes of the listeners. Who the hell is this guy?
Who?
We haven't given a proper introduction. Sage,
I told you it's the four sages.
What's your story?
what I was thinking, I had a request, right, from a little cousin. Shout out to Fatima. Because she actually listens to the podcast, you know.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, awesome. Man.
Shout out Fatima. And she asked
Shout out Fatima.
She was like, yo, can you do an episode where you talk more about anime and manga, please? Because you lot got a lot of anime and manga knowledge amongst yourself, which perhaps is like a bit. And she told me that, and I was a bit like, I don't know, because I don't want to like isolate listeners, because maybe some people are not into anime and manga. So,
yeah, but you guys say it in the intro all the time, though. It's in the Three Sages intro. So it's not something that should be shocking to the listeners.
True.
So having done this episode, for me, I feel like this is a dedicated episode where I can say, hey, listen, this is for you. And anyone else who's interested in anime and manga, because we've spoken with passion. Perhaps we will ignite a fire or curiosity for people. So what I would like to do is get Sage back on a separate podcast where we get more into that type of stuff and just have this one as just a chill anime episode. And even if this doesn't make it the main episode sequence, it could be a Patreon episode. That's what I'm thinking.
This guy was scared of the business meeting. Now look at him. He's
got I know. What have we started?
Sage, you're going to see.
I'm going to space.
We've done two meetings, right? And I'm hoping we can release those as episodes. Because what you see happen is we have disagreements, actually. We talk about how the podcast is doing, where it's going, what we want from it. And we clash, actually. It's not all, everything's, we all agree.
It makes sense. Yeah.
We're all individual human beings and we have our own ideas. And there's two episodes where we have it's a monthly meeting. So it's like the first month meeting and the second month meeting. And you see the progression from it. So, that's to come. I hope. I hope you guys are still cool with that concept.
Yeah.
I'm not gonna lie. I'm in here as a fan. All right, you lot are brothers, but I'm here as an absolute fan. All right, of the Three Sages. Okay, Oz will tell you he knows. I'll follow you guys on a regular. Okay, I'll follow you guys even when you took your hiatus, which is understandable. I went over episodes, bro. I went over episodes.
OnlyFans episode, trying to get some.
Well,
some
I was talking tips. Too much. I hope the fans see that I've calmed down a bit more. The listeners here, that I've calmed down. I don't talk too much.
Hey, it's all growth and progression, man.
I listen to the feedback and try and grow for sure.
I'm here for it because that sounds like an interesting episode. Is what I was leading to. It sounds like an interesting episode.
Yeah.
It sounds like one.
So we fully have this disagreement and these guys now tease me about it. They're like, oh, this guy on the first team meeting, he was saying this. And now from the second team meeting, look at him. But what they don't understand is this was my mold from the first meeting. In fact, they do understand it. They just like to wind me up. That's what it is. Like,
yeah, boy, you can't be.
They understand it.
Oh yeah, nanny's not
talking. Nanny don't work. You know, saying that, I had this experience with my friend. Shouts out to homie Caesar. I've given him a shout out on this podcast before, and he hollered at me. He's like, "Oh, I got a shout out." So shouts out to you again, my boy. But I was in France at my homie's house with his family, and we were celebrating New Year's. So it's the first time I've been in a French house. He's white French, so this is very white French experience for me. Like, I have no idea how it works or whatever. And obviously, I have stereotypes growing up in England about the French and whatnot. One of them is them saying, "Choc me bleu," which he says, nobody in France says that. It doesn't even make sense. I don't know why you're quoting me on that. Like, why are you trying to say French say that? And the second one is, "Ooh la 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 la." And he goes, nobody in France does that. Mm. However, during this time I was visiting him for New Year's, something was on the TV. It was French, so I didn't completely understand what was going on. It was him, his dad, and his brother. Something shocking happened on the TV. And I know it's shocking because all three of them went, "Ooh la la la." And I'm just like,
some gotcha.
I just looked. I was like, "Oh my god, you guys did it! You did the French stereotype."
You were saying, "Oh my god!" They're not gonna let that moment down. You know, it's like the only time we drop it, the Englishman is here. Oh my god, that's hilarious, bro. I said that we always had the same situation. Like in my, so when I had my, so my house is where after school everyone used to chill at, like all my friends, you know, like my mom would be cooking up, whereby she'll feed them. I come in, where's my food? Make your own food. You know
yeah,
the deal.
Yeah, you know the deal.
You know the deal. Treat everyone like that. They are royalty. You know what I mean? Treat the guests like they're royalty. Family members, your furniture, fam. But so when they first started coming into the house, as West Africans, you know how we speak, bro. We are passionate. We are vocal. You know what I'm saying? Even in the mundane, we are passionate. Yeah. Right? So we'll be going talking. And you guys know Gambians. We are not quiet people. You know? We are not. We don't have indoor voices. We don't. That's a fact. We don't. And so we started talking, you know, they were shook. They were coming into the house and they stood outside, like 1 foot in house, 1 foot outside, hearing, all they're hearing is the noise, right? They hear the level of volume, and I come back out of the living room. Bro, is everything all right? Oh, should we leave, bro? Sorry for causing you trouble. I said, no, I'm like, what are you talking about? My mom's just asking, would you guys want to eat? What are you talking about? She's ready for you. She's just asking, isn't it? Like, what do you want to eat? Are you ready to eat? You know, that's all it was. It was, oh, bro, we thought it was an argument. We thought we were intruding. Well, I'm like, bro, it's absolutely chill.
Yeah, yeah.
But they learn. They learn.
We are very passionate people. Mm-hmm. They, as you say, don't have indoor or nighttime voices.
It's a madness on the phone.
You guys seem chill. Oh, you guys seem chill. I can't whisper. To this day, I'm not capable of whispering.
You're one of those people. That's it.
Yeah. That's it.
You know, our grandmother, I guess because we grew up in England, so we're quite efficient with English, right? But we'll speak English to her, which is weird. Do you speak English to her or do you speak Creole to her?
Mix up. I mix it up.
I predominantly speak English to her, but I'm going to try to change that a bit more. So I predominantly speak English to her. And because I'm quite proficient in English, it's quite fast for her. she's been here all these years and whatever, and she speaks fluent English and she understands English properly, but whenever I'm talking, she will squint her eyes and, yeah, and really concentrate. Yeah.
And like, trying to catch everyone and nothing wants to get past her. I hate you.
And then she'll like cuss me out for speaking so quickly. Or you the mumble. Now mumble, you the mumble.
Same.
All right, grandma. Even if your grandma is.
Oh, bless you, bud. Listen, it is the change, isn't it? It is the change. I mean, in terms of that, I think it's how you know, what you're exposed to in terms of how comfortable you are with other languages, especially when it comes to first generations. It's always that, you know the old question, what language do you dream in if you recognize a language in your own mind? What language do you dream in? What cultural perspective do you interpret those dreams in? Do you know it's always
man? sorry to cut you off, my man. I had it's only once that I've dreamed in another language. It's only happened once, and it was in Spanish. Whilst I was living in Spain, and I remember it quite vividly. So I get up from the place I was staying, I go down the stairs, like I didn't brush my teeth, I didn't wash them, nothing. It was like midday. The sun's bright. I can literally feel my forehead like hot or something. I must have been close to the lamp or whatever. But I can really, really feel it. So I go downstairs, I go outside, and I start walking. And I'm walking. And as everyone's talking in English, and I can't understand a word. I recognize, I can clock it's English, but the meaning of it doesn't mean anything. It could be Klingon for all I know. It's just crazy. But fluently, the Spanish is pouring out of my mouth, trying to say like, "Oh, I'm so sorry, I don't understand. Like, can you help me? Is there anyone who speaks Spanish here? Does anybody speak Spanish? Where are we?" People are like, "Well, Spain," and I'm like, "Español, ¿dónde es español? ¿Dónde es en mí? Like, where am I? Oh, what is going on?" Insane. That's the only time it's ever happened. And it was so trippy. I woke up and I was like, "Ninja, you can't speak Spanish. Get the hell out of here, man. Get back on Duolingo."
That was your brain tricking yourself. That
honestly,
you knew.
It's mad. It's mad.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was going to get to. How long in your stay did that dream happen in Spain?
What do you mean? Sorry. How long?
How long were you in Spain?
Oh, yeah.
When that dream happened?
Like 2.5 years.
So do you think that was like a subconscious culmination of what you've absorbed environmentally? Yeah, well,
do you know what, man? The thing is, a large part of my existence there was a bit of an identity crisis. Like, I barely had a handle on the English language itself. And then you're trying to put me in a place where I'm not dealing with... Let me finish what I'm saying and then we can continue butchering. I hear you, G. Yeah. Where you need to learn and thrive with this other alien language, essentially, whilst dealing with your own demons and running away from, like, reality in itself. Like, all this in this cauldron of just this witch's brew that you sip on and you think that everything's going to be okay, when really that's actually poisoning your entire path going forward. But yeah, for sure, like, there was a large part of that. But after, I would say, 3 years, I was like acclimatized. I had bless you, sir.
Thank you, bro. A set
of people who I trusted enough to show them 3/4 of myself, perhaps even less than that, perhaps. But yeah. Yeah, so it took me ages to adapt. And I would put on, initially, because I tried to maintain this super happy, positive, like, whatever, guns blazing vibe, instead of dealing whatever I was dealing with at the time. But that persona ran out of steam very quickly. And then from that, if you run out of steam, obviously that flips on its head and it becomes the recluse. And then all these so-called friends that you make whilst you're out there, they're like, oh, whoa, where's this guy who brought the energy and the fire and where's this guy? And then when they do holler you and you come and you're a different way, they're like, oh, what's wrong? But it takes a while. Well, for me personally, it's perhaps self-imposed, but I would say I have trust issues. For me to genuinely open up and be pure with someone, that takes a while. Perhaps so it should. Who knows?
It should do, yeah.
Perhaps it should. Who knows? Perhaps it shouldn't.
At the end of the day.
Perhaps it shouldn't. If you really deep it, why? Like, me and Sage were doing poetry earlier, actually. We did like a brief session of like an hour's worth, perhaps. Maybe less than. And what was the prompt?
Death of shame.
Naked. What was the thing that I said? Bear with me. I've got a whole list of these things.
That was the death of shame.
Yes.
The death of shame prompt.
Yeah. So I thought of this prompt as I've described in subsequent episodes, is in the writer's deli, we have 6 minutes. I give you a prompt. In those 6 minutes, it's complete unconscious flow. Whatever comes out, and then at the end, we can discuss and read and whatever. But the death of shame. And I was discussing all these things of just being, in order to kill shame, in essence, or defeat shame, you need to be open, naked, and honest with yourself, with everyone around you. Perhaps in that sense, it could affect. Sorry. I know. Oh, you should hear the piece. It's all right, you know. It's all right.
It's an amazing piece. It's an amazing piece you did.
This is a bit of a segue, but in relation to what you were saying, Oz, of the death of shame, I saw this video today of a guy on a nudist beach, and he sees this woman who's also completely nude. So he's nude, she's nude. There's loads of other people on this beach just chilling, doing their own thing. One guy's walking past, and he's got trousers on. But
you make that sound like it's so weird.
No,
well,
trousers on the beach.
This guy's got trousers
on the beach. What are you doing, bro?
Okay. He had shorts on. So, this guy's talking to this woman on this nudist beach, both of them nude, public place, there's people around. And as he's talking to her, he just gets this raging hard on.
And what can you do?
Poor guy.
What can we do?
And I was just like, and I think they were just like exchanging numbers or whatever. But how real you want to get? I don't know for you guys, but for me, to make the video worse, like, I read the title. I found the title absolutely hilarious. So I click on it. Next thing I know, it's a black guy.
No.
Black guy. A black guy with some
it's a black guy with a head. Some third arm just raising up. And I was like, oh, for fuck's sake. You ain't hiding anything out here.
That's mad.
Primal. It's primal.
But that's mad.
You know what? Kudos to the guy for being honest with his body and not feeling that shame. Because that's a natural reaction for him.
On a nudist beach,
I have done.
Yeah.
Multiple occasions. In Barcelona, there's sections of the beach itself. It's better to go like further along the coast. But in Barceloneta, like the main, everyone goes to beach. There's sections of just nudists, predominantly men there. I know that you guys are like hyper heterosexuals. So
I don't give a damn.
Yeah, but there's quite a few guys there. But man, multiple times that was a casual thing. In fact, I was dating someone at the time, and she didn't feel, I don't know, super comfortable at first, and then it got. I was just like, I don't care, doing like
let's go, my
Pamela Anderson to the water. Go for a dip, come back. It got to a point where she would get to the beach and she would just be like, whoa, straight away. I'm like, okay, go, be comfortable.
You don't land.
Be comfortable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Really and truly. But yeah, to that poem that I had written, that's the only way, that's the most efficient way of defeating shame. Just be naked.
You mans, could you nudist beach? Could you do it?
Oh, I've done it.
Oh, damn. Okay. Mo.
I haven't, but I would do it.
Yeah, but what's the downside? What's the negativity there to be like, actually, no, I wouldn't do it. Is it like you don't feel comfortable in yourself? I swear you've done it already.
Oh, I'm totally cool with it. I'm totally cool.
This guy's nudist everywhere he goes. Yeah, man. Yeah. No. If he could, he would.
Yeah, if I can be naked, I'm going to be naked.
If he could,
if you're in my house and I'm walking to the shower and you see me, that sounds like a you problem.
It is what it is.
You problem. I'm chilling. Like,
this is my house.
Can you have my phone on charge? Where's your phone? It's over here. Stop turning. Still,
stop,
man.
Stop turning so rapidly. Now.
Stop turning so. Just stand still.
Why is your thing standing up? We're not changing numbers.
Calm down.
Put your phone away.
Oh my god, that's a killer.
But that's a killer. Oz, you made a really good point, you know, and I kind of want to just go back to that. And I think you asked a question. You were saying about, you know, you feel as if now it takes you a lot longer to trust people or to open up. And should it be that way, and why? And I think I was having this conversation earlier this week with someone, and you know, a similar thing was being said. What my interpretation of that is I do almost feel I can relate to that. To some degree, I don't think I'm the most open doors person, but I don't think I'm, you know, very closed in at the same time. I think with me, as I've gone through life and just experiences and, you know, situations with different people, I think that's where you just learn from it. And it's like, okay, in order to protect this part of me or protect myself or protect whatever I'm trying to withhold within myself or build, I know that certain people can only get certain access. And if there's somebody new that I'm meeting in my life, it's going to have to be not a sense of trials, but it's going to just take time to naturally for them to be able to get into that. Yeah. And that will happen through
not
conversation.
Not everyone you meet and become friends with has your best interest.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I'm gonna quote Okello, something that he told me, a very, very, I don't know, it stuck with me. And I feel like it still stuck with me. And I think it's one of the things I'm going to probably tell my children when they do come, is know your friends' strengths and weaknesses.
Long live the king. What?
No. No. No.
Mufasa. I killed Mufasa.
Sorry, Mo.
It was on your point. What you said was know your friends' strengths and weaknesses. And I think that's something that's super important. And as you say, you know, not everyone that you know or meet or is going to be your friend does have your best intentions. So it makes sense for you to go through life and navigate in that way where
it
maybe
makes sense
it just takes you some time to trust people.
It makes sense that they don't.
Yeah.
That should be the starting point. For someone to be my friend, it means that they act peculiar. They put me in a position where they want the best for me. They believe in the best for me. They see me there already. They know what my strengths and weaknesses. I know it's possible for me to be the better. So any advice or whatever I get from them is them from the standpoint of, I know you. You could, I'm able to envision the best of you.
Mm.
And that's what makes a friend, right? Because you don't want a friend who's just going to tell you what you want to hear. And that's not a friend. It's just a guy who's
that's a hype man.
That's a hype man.
That's flavor out here.
That's a hype man.
Yes, yes. We don't do yes.
Asking for delicious. Hey, Sage, did you ever watch that show, Flavor of Love, with Flavor Flav?
Trust me, bro. I'm familiar with Delicious, bro. Don't worry.
Delicious. There's so many. New York.
Delicious had that thick. that thickness that was past thickness.
That round meatloaf. that rotund meatloaf. Yes, that's the word.
No, I don't think I've ever actually eaten meatloaf. You know, what is meatloaf? Is it beef? No.
Yeah,
I don't know. I've never eaten.
It just depends. It just depends on who makes it. Same as
corned beef, isn't it?
Corned beef.
No, I don't know.
It's not the same as corned beef.
You don't know what corned beef is? Like, we didn't used to eat that when we were growing. Come on, man. You know
corned beef.
Bro, you know corned beef.
Yeah, I'll check it. I know corned beef.
Potato ash. Stop it, Mo. I know about corned beef. That's the sweetest thing, man.
Yo, sorry.
Onions, peppers.
On a quick, let me finish this list of top 10 best mango, right? Okay. We got to number 6. Blackjack. Osama Tezuka, 176 million. I've never seen Blackjack, but Osama Tezuka, I believe, is like a super famous classic author. He's like one of the founding fathers of manga. He made Dororo, I believe. Number 7, Slam Dunk by Takahiko Inoue, who's the same author of Vagabond. So he's in the top 10 best selling.
I've tried a few times Slam Dunk. Get into Slam Dunk, and I've even watched Kuroko no Basket, which is perhaps in my top 10 sports animes. I mean,
nice. Nice save.
It's number one.
Yeah, because it's just the dramatization of basketball, my love of basketball, whatever. But I've tried, and perhaps the art style's too old. So for old. Me.
However, those who did watch Slam Dunk say it's amazing. Those who were young and watched it at that time, and I don't know about nostalgia, you know.
Nostalgia plays a part. Nostalgia does play a part, but honestly, Slam Dunk, it's a great series.
Mate, 157 million copies sold. So it must
speak for itself.
You know what? I don't best selling manga. Number. I don't know what that number means.
Just get past the nose. I think it's the nose, isn't it? And the drawing style. Once you get past the nose, I think that's it.
But imagine that person that did Slam Dunk is the one we were talking about that done one of the most beautiful mangas.
Yeah, I need to go and read Vagabond as well.
Like, Vagabond's hearing amazing.
Both of you talk about it has amazing. Inspired me to be that.
It's got a philosophical.
This is the only person I've ever spoken to Vagabond about. I found Vagabond by myself. Read it by myself and appreciated it by myself. I've never ever discussed Vagabond for what it is.
Sasori Kojiro, the blind, the deaf and dumb. Come on, man. Like,
right, no spoilers.
I won't say anything, but I'm reading that. Like, you got me feeling emotions out here and things. What's going on? The guy who raised him, who almost gave up on him several times, where he like, this is not. This
I feel
is not
like main, taking my headphones off.
No,
man.
This is not main story. It's not main.
The main thing is,
it's not main story.
I've seen enough anime and manga for me to start filling in the gaps. Like, you got to stop it.
No.
They're giving too much context.
You're cleaning your ears with a cotton bud, and you're going too deep.
That's what I'm trying to say to you. That's how deep Vagabond is.
Because it's
the small I've seen.
What he mentioned is a passing thought.
Really and truly, it doesn't even need to be in the story. Really and truly.
Yeah. But
the fact that
it's
it is.
Possible.
Matt, so now you know that character.
He's up on
important.
Him so many times and he cries.
No. That character is important.
Yeah, but it's important enough for him to reference it. So
no, man, trust me. Trust me, I've given you nothing. You will read that and not even what I'm talking about. You will read it and it will pass you by and you'll be trying to figure out what's the main plot, what's going on. I'm just giving you some side piece here. I'm just giving you some side piece. But
there's nothing that's been discussed of Vagabond in this session that's a spoiler.
Oh, man.
I promise you.
Musashi's fight with Kojiro's senpai, essentially the guy who trained underneath the same master.
Yeah.
Sounds like that a spoiler, man.
No, man.
This guy's telling you match up.
Man, what a fight!
He's telling you.
And also, as you say,
he's looking
as
at me as well, looking at me direct to make sure that I'm listening.
No, hear me. Also, as
if you haven't watched Vagabond and you want to watch it, please keep listening. because you're not going to hear any
spoilers. Vagabond would never be turned into an anime.
Yeah, you couldn't. They couldn't. It's the same as Berserk. It just can't work.
Yeah, you can never turn it into an anime.
Although that early 90s, late 80s Berserk anime.
The first Berserk
was great.
The first Berserk. I watched
the manga, but it was great.
Mm-mm-mm. It was. But just for Vagabond's sake, no. Because honestly, try and transform that level of art on page to a series, you basically have to take Studio Ghibli and ask them to make a series. Mm-hmm. That's the closest thing to think. That level of hand-drawn animation.
MAPPA's doing work out here. MAPPA Studios do work.
Yeah, but nah, it's not the same. Mm. You need like hand-drawn cells. We're not talking like MAPPA, we're not talking Bones, we're not talking Madhouse. Do you know what I mean?
Do work.
Yeah, definitely. Like,
but yeah, I think I completely agree with you.
Need Ghibli for that.
Yeah. It's
you honestly need Ghibli. Like, I can't see any other studio.
And you don't even need to be into philosophy to enjoy Vagabond. Like, philosophy plays a big part of Vagabond, a huge part of it, but. You don't need to be a fan or even care about philosophy to enjoy Vagabond. It just accompanies the manga. Oh, what a beautiful... I'm really glad I lived in a timeline where I read Vagabond.
100%.
Like that.
Me too.
That's a thing to say, yeah. You know? That's
no, it. Honestly, bro. It affected every time,
as an individual person.
Every time I read that,
Berserkers,
it left me in a trance. It left me in a trance. I felt
you read Hitler's manifesto. You
know? This guy.
I understand.
This guy.
I get it.
Never that. Fuck F him.
Bro, if you ever get a chance, like just go through the Book of Five Rings. So for me. The Book of Five Rings is, those are one of the more fun. You know, a lot of people are always saying, oh, like, you know, The Secret, 48 Laws of Power, The Four Agreements. You know, the books people are always ready to shoot out in terms of self-development and growth and all of this, right? My fundamental books have been The Book of Five Rings, Machiavelli's Prince, The Art of War, right? Yeah, those three have been, I mean, outside of Ishmael, which Oz knows I always talk about, right? Those books are what helped me find the constitutions of who I am. And reading that Book of Five Rings and then going through the manga and seeing how he got to writing that book is friggin' amazing. You know, it is amazing in a sense. Us when we talk about in the deli, when we talk about the whole, or when I mentioned the concept of the void, I think even in the Death of Shame, I mentioned it today.
Yeah.
Even in the Death of Shame, I mentioned it today in our prompt. That notion of void I learned from Musashi Miyamoto, the Book of Five Rings. Mm-hmm. So even in meditation, trying to reach that level of what you consider void, to be able to have that level of control of your being or understand and be able to speak to yourself, right? And be able to, you know, just take out anything that's considered the ego. I learned from Musashi Miyamoto. Is fascinating, man. Trust me. That book, that manga is profound.
Is that your top three book recommendations?
I will say top three because the Book of Five Rings, Art of War, and The Prince are very particular. Like, they're very particular. But I will always say Book of Five Rings and Ishmael for my two book recommendations. Ishmael is always my number one. Always my number one. Huh?
Ishmael, what's it about?
Good question.
I can give it to you like this. It's about One explanation is, I can just simply say, it's about a psychic gorilla, right? It's about a gorilla that can communicate, that's developed consciousness and can communicate with humans.
What does you want?
Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
Go Caesar, go home, right?
No. No.
It could be that, right? Or it can literally talk about what we consider the culmination of human, of what we call human culture, our mother culture, right? It gives the definition of how we see ourselves as, you know, as where we are in civilization today. And this book was written in the early 90s. It talks about how we, why and how we are where we are. This book was what Sapiens is. You understand? Like, Sapien is a very true, in terms of, in a sense of, you know, just a historical, it's a historical account of how we are, right? This is more of a historical and cultural account, right? In a sense of, not just from early man, but we're talking pre-industrial revolution, no, pre-agricultural revolution and post-agricultural revolution. How the human mind. Yeah, no, honestly, it's hard to, it's hard to just tell you what Ishmael is, right? Because there's a review in the back of the book, right? There's a review on the back of the book. It doesn't give, there's no synopsis. The back of the book, there's no synopsis. It just says it's a spiritual journey. There's no synopsis. It just has reviews.
This is not one of those Life of Pi businesses, right? I wasn't a fan.
This is better than the Life of Pi. This shits on Life of Pi. I'm never gonna lie to you, and I'll say that with conviction. Right? It's one of those ones where highly rated authors will say you're gonna classify books that you read as the ones you read before and after Ishmael.
Nice, okay.
Everything that you read in Ishmael, you find you already know. It just helps you connect. You'll be able to find references in every single discussion you have to Ishmael after you've read Ishmael.
Ishmael with an I or an E?
Ishmael with an I.
I-S-H-M-A-E-L.
Yes, by a guy called Daniel Quinn.
Yeah.
All right.
Right. So it's a trilogy, actually.
You're making it harder for me to get into. This is another One Piece business.
I know. It's a
trilogy. No.
And that's just the beginning.
I promise you, it's not those.
You gain access to these secret rooms that you wrote.
I have
the 1,000 chapters.
God damn.
Do you know when I read?
I promise you. Yeah. I have friends that have read just one book, right? From that, they aren't tied to each other or dependent on each other. So that's why I always say Ishmael, right? Ishmael, you go through that. That's always going to be my recommendation for anyone. Honestly, yeah, that book just changed my perspective in terms of human nature, okay. Why we are who we are, how we look at ourselves. Most of us, because of human civilization now, our culture is, we see ourselves as separate from Mother Nature, or separate from the ecosystem, not as part of it.
Make sure when we do this episode in the show notes, we give you a book recommendation of Ishmael.
Of course.
All right. Sage, my man, I gotta say thank you, man.
He's always the guy who has to cut it down.
It's the kids.
Everyone's got to do.
If you die a hero, live long enough to see yourself become a villain.
Yeah.
All shots.
Honestly.
Hey, Okello here. This section is a space where we'll be sharing short stories, creative experiences, and art.
Hi guys, Oz here. Here's a poem that I wrote with the title, The Death of Shame. Shout out Writers Daily. Come, Be naked with me. Be light. Be true. In my younger years, on my back I carried far too many fears. And after failing so much, it became habitual. Not failing, but the belief that I would. Come one, come all, be naked with me. It's available, that vitamin D, even in the greyest of places. We all know that darkness is a wolf that swallows the light, and most of us are happy to keep being sheep. To break out of this cycle of rinse, fail, repeat, I must kill shame. Middle finger to Queen Karma and her partner Father Fate. Take destiny on a night out, standing at the top of the stage screaming, come, be naked with me, be light, be true. Be the truest version of yourself, one without shame. With calmness and stillness, it comes to an end. We hope you found some gems and go away richer in soul and spirit. We're showing you the three paths of the sage. Your path is your own. Which path do you follow? Until next time.